Yes, Lord, we thank you, God. No, just like Marlene sang this song so beautifully, Father, that you are a good Father. Thank you, God, that you call us not slaves, but sons and daughters, Lord, that you say you are our Father, Lord, that we can come and just crawl onto your lap and just be with you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this morning you would really come and break open the scriptures, reveal the Father to us, speak to each of us. We invite you to come and minister to us and to speak to us what God wants to say to us this morning. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we all do our Bible reading, and I have been in the last month or two, I've been in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm almost finished. Yesterday was Luke 24. So I'm almost finished. For some reason, I really love Luke. Not sure why, but Luke, I don't know, I find myself often in Luke. But I was struck, and I told Richard, I was struck just again by how much Jesus spoke about money. And I know for some of you, like, oh no, here it comes. I don't want to talk about money in church. But it's amazing, and I'm going to read you a quote now that I read. I read a book this holiday around this because I just felt God speaking to me again about money and how we steward our money. But more than that, I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want to be more involved, almost a cry for more, to be more intimate when it comes to our and my personal finances. So I didn't... And I want to say it from the front, I didn't receive it as a rebuke at all, but more as an invitation. The Holy Spirit saying, come, let me show you how I can be intimately involved with you in your finances, how I can get to know you better, how you can get to know me better through your money and how you steward that. So that is where this has come from. Interestingly, I told Richard this probably a month or 6 weeks ago. I said, it's amazing how many of the parables and how often Jesus spoke about money. And he's like, I don't see that. No, okay, it's amazing how God highlights certain things for certain people and at certain seasons. So I'm almost wanting to invite you to go on this journey with me in the holidays. Whether you wanted to or not, he was stuck in the car with me for many hours. So I spoke a lot about this. And I read a couple of books and listened to a couple of things, and I was just so encouraged again by just how much Jesus has to say and how good a Father we serve. So this morning we're going to start with that. The first one, this is a book I read, and the guy he summarized what I experienced when I read through the Gospels again. And he says, there's a quote, you can put it up, Dev, and it says there, why teach about money? And he says the New Testament actually contains 215 verses pertaining to faith, 218 verses pertaining to salvation, and 2,084 verses dealing with the stewardship of and accountability of money and finances. 16 of Jesus's 38 parables deal with money. How crazy is that? I read it and I was like, no, you've got to be kidding. I read it again. I actually took my calculator, 16 out of 38, that's 42%. I was blown away at how much. Now, I know very often Jesus used money as a, you know, it can be used as a metaphor or a symbolism for something else. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes Jesus spoke about money. And sometimes seems to be quite often that he dealt with money. And we've had finance courses here, and we'll do those again. But you know what I realized is there's such a big string between your heart and your wallet. And I think that is why Jesus spoke about it so much, because he realized it's such a big deal. And very often people don't speak about it. We don't speak about it in church. We don't speak about it sometimes at home. Husbands and wives don't really speak about it often that much. It finds like the three biggest issues in marriages is what? Money, sex, in-laws. Yeah? The mother-in-law. That's most of the time, that's where we end in unforgiveness is in there as well. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We don't speak to our kids really, not about sex, not about money. I think sometimes somebody just needs to say, hey, let's talk about it. And it's okay to not have all the answers, but let's break it open. Let's get the uncomfortable white elephants in the room and just speak about it. They're anyway, yeah. And I think that's what Jesus was so good at. He took the uncomfortable topics and he said, oh, let's talk about it. Let's go there. So there were the two parables, and I felt God speaking to me, and he's saying that a key, not the key, but one of the keys to revival is getting this money thing right. We are trusting God for revival. We want to invade God, to invade Franschhoek, our valley, our nation. We want the Holy Spirit to come and just flood. And God is saying, you're actually looking for authority over a city. And I was like, yes, Lord, we are looking for spiritual authority. That's what we want. We want the powers of darkness to break. We want marriages to flourish, homes to flourish, businesses to flourish. Why? Because that's the kingdom of God. But Jesus said in Luke 19, you'll see it up there, two of the two parables, the one parable is the parable about the miners. Miners is the sum of money in Luke 19. Jesus tells a story about a lord, he calls him a boss, that goes away and gives his stewards miners. Miners is a sum of money. And he comes back, you all know the parable, he comes back and he says, all right, what did you do? One got one got two, the other one got five, I think. And he calls them in and he says, what did you do with the money? And that's a scary thing. Because the reality is, we're all going to be called in one day to give account. Okay? Will you be given account of the money you stewarded? I think so. Will you be given account of how you spoke to your kids? I think so. I think you're going to be have to give an account of everything. And here, Jesus' parable about the miners, the reward for the servant who did well and kind of doubled, that's the other thing, they doubled. They didn't just add one or two, they doubled what they got. The reward was authority over cities. Do you remember that parable? Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant, I give you authority over five cities or 10 cities. We want authority over our nation, God, so that the evil and the corruption and all of that can be out, and that the kingdom of God can come in South Africa. And God is saying, I want to give that to you. Just get your finances in order. One of the keys, not the only keys, but I feel God is saying one of the keys is how we steward our personal finances. In the other parable of the talents, talents is also not your ability to play tennis, but a sum of money in Matthew 25. There the reward was to be a ruler over many things and entering the joy of the Lord. Do you remember that? Jesus said, well done, I make you ruler over many things. Come and enter the joy of your Lord. And what does that sound like? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We say, God, we want your kingdom to come. And one of the rewards in this parable, at least, was to enter the joy, enter the kingdom of God. So it is important to talk about this from time to time. Not every Sunday, but from time to time we do need to talk about this. And the two chapters that that I found myself, I probably read it easy 15, 20 times, and I read it in different translations. I don't normally do that, but I quite enjoyed it. So I read it in pretty much every translation I could find. It was 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. You can open there if you want. I've got some scriptures up here. I would encourage you guys to go and read these two chapters. It's really amazing. The background to the story is Paul is writing. Remember, the letter of Corinthians is written to the church in Corinth. But Paul is actually, at this stage, he's writing them a letter. So he's not in Corinth. He's in a place called, an area called Macedonia. And he's visiting different churches there. And while he is there, he's writing them this letter. And Paul is saying that the Macedonian churches, he's told them about how generous and what the Corinthian church has actually a year before promised to give a financial blessing, to give money, basically, to the saints in Jerusalem. They have apparently come together the year before and said, Paul, we want to send money to the saints in Jerusalem because we know that they are in need. And Paul, for some reason, it didn't happen. They didn't send the money then. But Paul is now, in these two chapters, writing them a letter saying, look, I'm in Macedonia. I've actually told the churches here about your generosity and how you want to send a financial gift to the saints in Jerusalem. So I'm telling you, while I was telling the churches in Macedonia about your generosity, they said, well, they also want to give. The difference is just that the Macedonian churches didn't have a lot of money. They were a really poor church. But because of the testimony and what they heard the church in Corinth was planning on doing and what they promised to do, they said, we also want to give. And Paul was blown away because he said that they actually gave out of their lack, out of their poverty, they gave. So what he did was, Paul sends Titus, and he calls him a brother. Some translations say, I think it was Luke, but whoever, somebody with Titus, with this letter, and he sends them ahead of him going to Corinth and saying, look guys, I've told everybody about this obligation we made a year ago. Please get the money ready so that nobody's embarrassed. Okay, that's basically what he's doing. And he's saying then also that you need to fulfill your obligation. And as I was preparing, I felt that that is maybe a word for some of us. Paul wasn't tiptoeing, saying, do you guys still feel like you want to, what you said a year ago, maybe pray about doing? Paul is saying, I'm not telling how much you need to give. I'm giving you time to get your heart in order, because God wants and loves a cheerful giver, and you're going to get there. But you said you're going to do it, so you need to do it. And I feel for us that that's the key nowadays. You see it with the kids. It comes from little. Then they want to play hockey, and then by the time it's the match time and the teacher puts up the team for the weekend matches, then all of a sudden the kids have got a party here and we're going away. And the teacher is sitting without a team. And she's got, you know, two or three kids instead of seven in a team. And I told Richard the other day, I don't understand what happened to integrity. What happened to, I said I'm going to play this season hockey. So our little Christina decided she doesn't like hockey. So I told her, that's fine, but you're finishing out the season. She said, but I don't want to. I said, I hear that, but you are part of a team, and you started, and you made a commitment. So I'm sorry if you don't feel like it. You're going to finish the season. Now, for those who know Christina, it was quite a hefty discussion. Still not sure, because now she goes, but she just stands. Okay? It's one of those, if I'm told me to stand when I'm sitting down inside. Oh. But it's just to get and to teach, and I feel God is saying, that is the lesson we all need to get right. If you committed, and if you said you're going to pay something, or if you took out a loan, you need to pay it back. Okay, so that's a side note. So that is the kind of the background to these two chapters. So these two chapters, you can go and read it. It's all about money. It's all about money, okay? It's Paul speaking about money. So to get there, I'm gonna highlight a couple of verses throughout. I gave you a bit of background now on the two chapters. I'm gonna highlight a couple of verses, but you can go and read it. But it feels like the foundation when it comes to money is understanding the heart of the Father. Well, it feels like that's the foundation for life. But when it comes to money, understanding that God is your source. And that God who is your source, your job is not your source. Your business is not your source. God is your source. And that God who is your source, he is not just your Father, but he's a good Father. And he loves you. And we see 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, got a whole lot of amplified, I stuck with the amplified for most of it. The verse there says, this is Paul speaking, for you are recognizing more clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. His astonishing kindness, his generosity, his gracious favor, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich, abundantly blessed. So this Jesus, this Father, this God that we serve, he gave it all for us. He gave up. Now we want to say, yes, he was in heaven and it's different riches. idea, but I think you gave up a whole lot of provision. I don't know if there's money in heaven. I doubt it. I do not know what money and stuff like that looks like in heaven. But he gave up a lot of provision that he had in heaven, and he came to earth, and he took on poverty for us. Now, Jesus, this is controversial. I'm not going to go there. I don't believe he was poor on earth. The wise men that brought the gifts, that was some valuable gifts. So I don't think he was poor. I don't think he was ultra rich, but I think he had enough. And we're going to see that now. But this Jesus, this Father that we serve, he is astonishingly kind. He's generous. And he's gracious in favor towards you. We go to the second chapter, chapter 9. And this is, I think, the most beautiful. And I almost underlined the whole script, the whole verse. But you need to go and read this and understand this is what God is saying in the two chapters about money and finances and provision for you. And it says that, and God is able to make all grace. Remember, Paul is speaking and he's writing about money and about the fact that you guys need to give what you promised to give. And why can you give? Because this is the God you serve. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you. Why? So that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. That's a lot of words. But I'm going to jump quickly to the next verse. You'll see there, this is the same verse, but in the New Living Translation. He says they're a little bit simpler, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Okay, that's more simple English. But the bottom line is, God is saying, Paul is saying, God is able to give you everything you need. Does God say everybody's going to be a millionaire? No. He's saying everything you need for what you are called to do. It's a mean, we've spoken about this, it's a mean father to expect something from a child if they don't have the resources or the ability to do that. It's not right for me to expect Margaret, who's 10 years old, to drive the car and say, go visit grandma and grandpa on the farm in the free state, have a good time, and please bring some meat back. There you go, see you in 3 weeks' time. That's mean. She doesn't have the ability to go. She doesn't have the money to go. She cannot drive a car. So if God has called you to do something, he will provide the resources, the ability for you to do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a good father. Does that make sense? So Paul is saying here that there will be enough for what you need to do and some left over to help the other people around you. Do you guys see that? Now, the white elephant in the room is that some of us have not seen that happen. You're like, I hear that and I read the scripture, but that's not been my reality. And here we are again. And it feels like it's the healing one. I hear what you're saying about healing, but my father died, my friend died, that one didn't get healed. And I want to tell you, I hear and I do not know. But what I do know is the word of God is the truth. And what I do know is what happened in the Gospels, there was a boy, I'm speaking about healing now, there was a boy that the disciples couldn't heal. Remember, it was a dad that came and said, Jesus is somewhere else. And the dad came and he said, look, I brought my boy to your disciples and he can't heal him. The demon keeps on throwing him in the fire and wanting to kill him. And his disciples told Jesus, we've done everything you've told us to do, and it didn't work. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. And within an instant, he rebuked the demon, the boy got healed, and off they went. And what did the disciples do? Did they turn around saying, oh, healing is probably not for us? Okay, but Jesus actually lied. He's not really the healer, because it didn't work in this instance. No, the word of God says, he took them aside. They took Jesus aside privately and saying, Jesus, help us understand. It didn't work. What happened? And then Jesus said, oh, you had little faith, but he also said, some of these things only go out with prayer and fasting, but Jesus didn't pray and fast, and yet he drove out the demon. It's all confusing things. But the bottom line is, they took Jesus aside privately, saying, Jesus, I don't understand. You need to explain this to me. And I feel the encouragement of the Father in the area of finances as well, saying, I know that for some of us, this has not been our reality. You're listening and you're hearing this and you're like, I hear that, but that has not been my reality. I have not had enough. In fact, I've had lack and I've struggled. And I didn't have a good dad. So even when you speak about Father, I'm struggling. When I speak about finances, I'm struggling. And I want to encourage you, there's an invitation today to hear and to come closer to the Father and to be real with him and say, Jesus, you are saying that there will be enough, not just for me, but for everything I need to do and for me to share with others and to help other people. Why is that not happening? You see, he's a good Father, but we need to pursue him. And I also want to put it out there that if we choose to say, but this is not the truth, I don't believe that scripture, then what about John 3:16? Is that the truth? We can't just pick out certain verses out of the Bible. This is working because I can understand this because it makes sense in my life and out of my experience. But Jesus is saying it's the truth. The truth supersedes our experience. Okay? We don't interpret the Bible through the lens of our experience. That's a hard one. The truth is here. It's supposed to be the high water mark, the plumb line. That's the truth. If my experience is not what the Word of God says, then I need to wrestle that out with God. Say, God, what's going on here? Why am I not having the provision you promised? Is it maybe that somewhere I missed something, or am I not? What is it, God? I don't know, but God knows. All right, so I want to encourage you. We're going to pray for people at the end. If that is you, and all you have when it comes to finances is disappointment and pain and anxiety and worry, then we're trusting with you today that God will bring breakthrough and not going to rain down the money on you, but he's going to speak the word and the truth into your heart and give you the key for your next step. Does that make sense? All right, so if we... I want to share one testimony before we carry on to the money principles. You know the heart of the Father. My dad, I'm going to do this quick. My dad, when we got married, it's 16 years this year. So when we got married, just before we got married, my mom and dad went to a church. Well, they still go to a church in the Free State in Windberg, and somehow they got into a marriage course back then. Just a couple of months before we got married, and they got the teaching of leaving and cleaving. Okay, so anybody that's been married or been there know that teaching. In Genesis, God says you will leave your mother and father and cleave to your wife, that kind of a thing. And how important it is to leave. So my dad always, whenever he saw me, I studied in Stellenbosch, and he would come and visit, and he would inevitably throughout the visit, there would be a time where he asked me, do you have enough money? Are you coming out with your pocket money? How is your car's tires looking? Checking up on that. Very good, Dad. And if I said I don't have enough money, the good daddy would be, that's fine, I'll give you more. Just give me your budget. Let's just see where the money went. I mean, it was okay, Paul. Oh, you were so good at that. And that's the lesson. That's what a good dad does. He doesn't just give, does he? Because otherwise we don't learn. But anyways, so there would always be this discussion. Why? Because he's the dad who, he doesn't want his child to be in lack. It doesn't reflect well on him if I don't have food, if I don't have clothes, if I'm not coping. That's not a heart of a father. Any father, any mother in here, you don't want a spoiled brat, but at the same time, you don't want your child to be in lack. You want him and her to have what they need. Yeah? Anyway, so my dad, before we got married, they got this teaching somewhere. So when we got married, he told Richard, she is now yours. That is it. And he took it so literally that in the 16 years, he's never checked my car's tires again. He's never asked me, do we have enough money? Nothing. He would give us some meat when we go visit, but no financial nothing, okay? So in the first couple of years, I told Richard, yo, he's mean. You know, does he not even love? Does he not even care? And now I know the truth in this principle, God knows. Because what happened? We didn't have money. It was me and him. That's it. I'm like, you need to help me. It's just the two of us. And God knew that's why it's important to leave and to cleave. Because now it's between us. We are strong. We won. Anyways, that's for free. So that's my dad. So a couple of years ago, we asked him, he's a farmer, and my brother's got some cattle roaming the farm. And Richard said, why don't we ask your dad if we can also buy a couple of cattle and let it roam? And I said, good idea. So I asked him, is it all right? And he said, yes, that's fine. You buy the cattle, I'll look after it. When we sell it, we split the profit. That kind of was the deal. So I said, great. Now, I don't particularly enjoy talking to him about money and the cattle because I don't want it to come in between our relationship. So we decided the cattle is just the cattle. It must not go until one day we'll sort out the cattle. Anyway, so it's been roaming for about 4 years. Now and again, I ask my dad, what's going on? Oh, no, there's kolfies, little, what do you call a kolfie in English? Little, now they've grown, and I'm like, okay, fine. But it's not something, because I don't want it to come in our relationship. We decided that money, that is just there. It must not just go. So what happened is the last 3 or 4 weeks, we decided, we've been dreaming, we've got a dream in our hearts, Richard and I, and we spoke about this dream, and it's going to cost a bit of money, this dream. And we decided it is time to slaughter the cattle. So now I said, okay, well, now we need to speak to my dad. And I don't want to do it over the phone. I want to look him in the eye. And I want to talk to him about these cattle that we want now sold. And we want the money out. So now as the week, we're now on the farm for a whole week. As the week goes, I told him, Dad, I'd like to speak about the cattle. Yes, when your brother's left with the kids and what. And then eventually Richard said, Dad, we need to speak about the cattle. And it's the day before the time, and I'm telling him, this is uncomfortable. I don't know what to do with this. Now you can imagine, you know, it's just, and because why? We don't talk about money. Why don't we talk about money? I do not know. But it's such a stupid thing, but it becomes a big thing. And I'm praying about it, and I'm telling Richard, why am I praying mostly about cattle? That's not right. Something is not right. We should be focusing on the kingdom, not the beaster. But anyway, so the afternoon before we leave, my mom takes the 3 kids into the harbor, into the field. They go and play, and we're sitting outside, and up comes cattle, and he's talking about cattle, and I take my gap, and I say, about the cattle. Papa, here we go. And I tell him, we have this dream and we need the money. And his face lit up. And his heart came through and he said, Charlene, I've got a plan now. I'm going to help you. He said, we're not going to sell it now. I've got extra harbor. We're first going to fatten them. And then the right time to sell is end of September before the boerum doesn't plant, before the rain come. And his heart just came through. He says, I want to help you. We're going to make it. Don't worry about that. We're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to make a plan this way. And I was blown away. Why? Not the cattle, but his heart. And that evening, and I mean, Richard didn't say a word. I think he was shocked as me. Because my dad just got so excited about this dream we have. And he said, I'm going to do everything to help you. He's not going to give us the money, but let me tell you, he's going to try and help us feed the cattle and get them fat and sell them at the right time and who knows what all. And that evening, I felt God saying, that's my heart. That's my heart. And I feel that there's, for some of us, that we've struggled to understand. And the other thing that I felt God saying is, he said, That's how excited I get about a dream, not a want. This is not something we need. It's not food. It's a dream. But God is saying, that's how much I love you. That's how much I want to provide for you. I'm going to help you. You give me your couple of cattle, let me tell you, let me show you what I can do. So I'm going to quickly carry on. And before we carry on, we're going to pray for people, but unless you understand who this Father is, money is going to struggle. Why? Because we're going to try and hold on. Because maybe I don't get a guy. But you don't understand who your provider is, who your dad is. He wants to provide. He wants to take care of us. But there's a couple of principles the Bible speaks about, and I'm just going to speak about the principles in 2 Corinthians 9 and 1 in Malachi, but we're not going to go into this. We're going to spend, I heard the one guy, actually the book I read, the guy said, he felt God saying, speak on finances, and it ended up being an 18-part series. And I thought, holy moly, that's a lot of speaking about finances. But it's just because there's so much to understand. And there's the principles, but before you can get to the principles, you've got to understand who your dad is and how much he loves you and how badly he wants to take care of you. He doesn't just want to heal you. He doesn't just want your marriage. Well, he doesn't just want you in heaven. He wants you to do everything he's called you now, here, and he wants you to have enough to share with others. All right. So the first principle is 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 10, it says there, now he, who is God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for food, will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. That is your resources. So there we see already, Paul is saying, God gives seed for sowing and bread for eating. Okay, remember that. Okay, we're going to put it all together now. So that's the first principle we need to understand, that every rand we get in, if you get 10 rand from your salary, there should be, a part of that 10 rand should be for bread, that's eating, obligations, your needs. And there should be a portion that we need to sow. Okay, we're going to get into that a bit now. And then the second, I'm only going to speak about three principles. The second principle is tithing. Malachi, it says they bring all the tithes, a tenth. Oh goodness, how many times have we gotten that question? How do you work out your tithe? Is it before tax? Is it after tax? How do you do that? Oh, goodness me. A tenth is you take what you get times 10%. All right? My rule of thumb is you cannot outgive God. Okay? But you pray about it. Make it up. Make up your mind between you and God. But I think it's pretty clear. A tenth. You bring into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. So your tenth comes into wherever your house is, your church is, so that God is saying so that there's money for my kingdom to come, for the church to do what it needs to do. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. So God says, if you give your tithe, this is my, that's your part of the deal, this is my part of the deal. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, windows of heaven have been open over Franschhoek for a couple of weeks. What is that windows of heaven? That's rain, right? Okay, we're going to get to that now. And pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. Then I will rebuke the devourer, the insects and the plagues for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruit of the ground. We're going to get to that. Nor will your vine in the field drop its grapes before harvest, says the Lord of hosts. So, one of the things, another principle is that we need to tithe, okay? We're going to put it all together now. The last principle is in this 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. In the New Living Translation actually calls it the ministry of giving. This is different to tithing. Tithing is a 10% that goes to the church. But here it says, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7, but just as you excel in everything, Paul is writing, remember he's writing to Corinth, the church in Corinth, and he's saying, you're doing everything amazingly, you're excelling, you are leading the way in faith, in speech, that means your preaching is doing well, your faith is doing well, in knowledge, you know the word of God, in genuine concern, that means loving, you guys are loving well, and in your love for us, you love each other well, you love the leaders well, Now Paul is saying, see to it that you excel in this gracious work of giving also. And this one is where the Holy Spirit spoke to me personally quite a bit. Because he said, you know what? You want to excel in the gift of prophecy, in the gift of healing. And the way we excel is that I'm constantly aware, God, how do you want to use me? Where's the sick person to pray for? God, do you want to speak through me to this person today? That's how we excel, when we almost all our devices are up. We're aware that God might be speaking to us in this area. Does that make sense? In the same way, Paul is saying we need to excel in the ministry of giving. And I realized for me, the easy thing for me to do is in our budget, we've decided probably about a year ago already, we just give X amount. Tithing is one thing, but we give X amount to that thing and there it goes every month. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to ask me every month. I want you to involve me in your finances. I want to walk with you so that you throughout the month, you are aware, God, where do you want me to give? And for us, that might mean making a provision in our budget for giving in this area. And saying, this is an amount that I'm going to walk with the Lord until I feel the Holy Spirit say, this is it. This is where I want you to give this month. Does that make sense? So Paul is saying, I want you to walk in this. But he's saying there in verse 7, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. You see, God doesn't want your money. You know that. He's got enough. He owns everything. He wants our hearts. So Paul is saying, take your time. That's why he sent Titus and the brother ahead and said, you know what, take your time. Think about it. Pray about it. But I want you to excel in this. Why? Because God is after your heart. And remember, he's a good father. So if he's saying, try and excel in this, then there's a reason for it. Does that make sense? So I've got an illustration here that we're going to put these couple of principles together. I'm aware our time is running out and I'm almost done. God, look at me. Okay. So here we are. If you know, this is a guy called Jim Baker. I read his book. I adjusted his diagram a little bit. So it feels like I'm back at MBA. I told Richard, look at my little cloud I drew. Isn't that nice? We just read about these principles. So I'm going to try and put it together in an illustration. The first thing is that we spoke about God as our source. We're going to start here. Do you see my little red light? We're going to follow there. God is our source, knowing that my Father is my source. My job is not my source. My work is not my source. The resource is money, but everything comes from a good Father who wants to provide what that verse 8 says, exceedingly abundantly. He wants to give you everything you need for you to have enough to do what he's called you to do and to help somebody else. Okay? So God is the source. Now we read that every rand that you receive, say you receive 100 rand for your salary, there needs to be bread for eating and seed for sowing. Remember, we read that in 2 Corinthians. Now, the bread is our needs, wants, and obligations. We spoke about the obligations. If you took out a loan and you need to pay it back, then that is one of the obligations you need to fulfill. Your needs is, I need to eat, I need to clothe my kids, I need to pay school fees. Wants is, I want a sturdy stumpy. I don't need a sturdy stumpy. The foreigners don't know what a sturdy stumpy is. I can drink water, but I would like a flavored milk. Okay? So we're not going to get into this, but this is where your budget. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, involve me in everything. I want to be involved in your budget. Don't get stuck like Jolene. I got convicted for getting into a routine with our budget and how we do things. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, invite me in. I want to speak to you. So every single rand you receive, there will be bread for what you need. And then there will be seed for sowing. Remember we spoke about the seed? Okay, the first thing we need to know is that seed is for giving. The giving, we spoke in Malachi about the tithing. Remember what Malachi said? If you bring your tenth I will open up their heavens. Their heavens is the rain. God is saying, when you give, I will open up the heavens and it's going to rain on your finances. And we're going to see that now. And in there, I made it black because that's just the one the Holy Spirit highlighted to me, is the ministry of giving that Paul is speaking about in 2 Corinthians, all right? I know this is very, very, a lot of teaching, but hang in there. I think it's going somewhere. So there's, in that seed, a portion of every rand is for bread, a portion is for seed. A portion of the seed is for giving. The other part of the seed is for investing. You need to put some seed in the ground. For some of you, you've been tithing for years, and it's like, I just see these donnerwolke, these thunder clouds, and God is saying the heavens, the clouds are ready to rain, but there's no seed in the ground. You've got to put seed in the ground. Look at my seed. Are they not cool? That line is the ground. And God says he will do, you've got to go read that. He says he's the one. He will, if you go back to Malachi, you don't need to go that, Devin. I'm gonna read here. God says, I will open the windows of heaven and I will rebuke the devourer, the insects and the plagues. Now imagine you're a farmer, you put the seed in the ground. God is saying, you give the tithe, I bring the tithe unlocks the storehouses of heaven, right? The windows of heaven. And God is saying, I will do the multiplication, I will bring the increase. But you've got to be faithful in putting the seed in the ground. For some of us, we want God to multiply, but we're not investing. We're not saving. We're eating all our seed. God is saying there's a portion of the seed that needs to come to unlock the rain. And that's the tithing. That's the giving. But there's a portion that we need to put in the ground. So that's just a couple of principles. I thought this description was so good, and realizing that I cannot make the seed grow. You ask any farmer, can he make the seed grow? No, you cannot. God is the one who does that. But unless we put seed in the ground, and seed in the ground, and this is the beautiful part of this, I felt there's an invitation that the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to be more intimate with you. I want to be involved in your finances. We spend, I don't even want to know, there's probably a study on this, but the amount of mental time we spend around money and finances, anybody else? The amount of time we spend thinking about, do I have enough? What will I do with that? And I felt God saying, whether you don't have money or you have enough money, you need to involve me. You need to ask me, God, the source is dried up. Oh, excuse me, Devin, you can go back. Maybe the source hasn't dried up. The resource is dried up. And where the money used to come from, it's not coming. And God is saying, I'm the source. Ask me. Maybe you need to look for another work. But there's an invitation. God is saying, I want to be involved. Come and speak to me. I'm your source. But maybe the way it's coming is changing. And the only way for you to know that is to come to me. Maybe you have too much and you're saying, God, I want to give more. Where do I need to give in the ministry of giving? And God is saying, I want to be involved in that. Don't ask me once a year like we did. I want to be involved. Why? Because I want to walk with you in the cool of the day every day. That's the God we serve. He's saying, don't exclude me, include me, ask me. Maybe you're saying, God, I'm not coming out. I don't have enough money for all the bread I've got. God is saying, ask me, include me in the day-to-day decisions. Include me. Let's pray about it. We speak about it often, and we spoke about it yesterday in the car again. We spoke for the day before. Spoke for long about an issue, a problem that we cannot seem to solve for months now. And I told Richard, we're not praying, we're just talking. And some of us are like that. We talk and we brainstorm. And he says, no, we're not talking, we're brainstorming. And I said, I know, but we need God's wisdom because clearly we're not getting to a solution. And I felt God saying, I want to be involved. And then I also felt him saying that we need to watch out. You know, sometimes, and that is a reality, sometimes we've had people, counseling people, that says, I've given my tithe. I've given my money to the church. I've done this and this and this, and God has not come through. And you know what? God is not a slot machine. God is the Lord. He is Lord. And we need to make sure our hearts understand that, yes, these are principles that the Bible says we need to follow, but God is under no obligation to serve me. He is the Lord. I am the servant. So I want to encourage you, if you have found yourself, maybe some of you are there now, that you're actually a little bit offended with God, we're going to have some time of repentance. Just saying, God, I'm really sorry. I got the order wrong. I stepped out of my lane. You don't work for me. I work for you. And then the last thing I want to relate this to is yeah, it's so difficult when it comes to these principles, because we worship God in spirit and in truth, right? That's what John 4 says. The truth are the principles, and there are many principles. The seed, the tithing, the budget, the budget, they are all there. But unless that is from a place where the Holy Spirit is involved and from a place of relationship, it's going to be like a marriage. If I thought about doing it the other way around, and I thought that wouldn't be very nice. If I only give Richard nice food because I want something out of him, if I only do nice things for Richard, I wash his clothes, and I'm like, look at all your clothes I washed, look at the nice food, but I didn't do it out of love, I just wanted whatever out of him. Say he had a lot of money. He doesn't have a lot of money. But say he did, and he controlled all the money, and I wanted a new dress. And that was the reason why I gave him the food and made the bed and cleaned the house. What kind of a marriage, what advice would you give to me in that situation? Anybody would say, you don't even have to be married. You would say, that is manipulation. That is not right. You need to sort out your heart. But yet we sometimes come with that into our relationship with God when it comes to money. Say, God, I did this. Now you have to do that. And God is saying, my girl, you're not getting it. It's a relationship. And I felt that if anything that I'm trusting God for this morning is that we would take away that God wants to be intimately involved, not because he wants your money, but because he's after your heart. And he's saying, I want to take care of you. And I felt, actually, I'm not going to do the last slide, Devin. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. We're not going to carry on further. I think that's enough. Yes, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are a good God. And I feel even now, as I was speaking in the last slide, for some of you, you're like, oh, this is too much. It's too much. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. And I thank you, Father, that you are quieting hearts and minds right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your peace, Holy Spirit, in this place. Yes, Lord, and I feel God is saying that there's some of you who've actually, you look at this and you've heard what I read about God wanting to provide, and you're saying, this is just, it's too good to be true. It cannot be true. He cannot be that good. It's not been evident in my life. I can't believe that is the truth. And I felt the phrase, everybody wants a king like Jesus. You know, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah says that Jesus is the desire of the nations. He is good. He is that good. And I feel that there's an invitation this morning for the Holy Spirit to come and quiet whatever it is that's running through your mind, and for him to come and reveal the Father to you. So just open your heart and just say, Holy Spirit, come and reveal the Father to me. If that is you and you're struggling to believe the truth that God wants to provide for you and that he loves you and that he's a good Father, maybe for some of you, you didn't have a good dad. You've never had the experience I had with my dad this week. And you saying, well, I don't know, Dad in my books is not a good thing. For some of you, there's been real disappointment where you felt like, God, I trusted you and it didn't work out the way I thought. I want to encourage you, just bring it before him now. Just be honest with him. Anyone knows it. If that is you and you're saying, I'm struggling to understand that God is a good God and he wants to provide for me. While all eyes are closed, I'm not going to call you forward yet or anything like that. Why don't you just slip up your hand? If you're saying, I'm struggling in this area, thank you. Thanks for those hands. And I actually felt that there's also people that are saying that, I felt that there's people that have actually not been sleeping at all. You're struggling to sleep because of anxiety and worries in the area of finances. And for some of you, it's actually gone over into your body and you've experienced physical sickness. Your colon, stress-related, just spanning up on your shoulders, even gone into migraines. If that is you, if you realize that you have been gripped by fear and anxiety and worry when it comes to provision, why don't you just slip up your hand so we can see? Okay. I also felt just now, that wasn't part of the notes, but I also felt right now that there's a lie on some of the men that you have to be the provider. And yes, you are the provider of your house, but God is the provider. And you've actually taken on a burden that's not yours to carry. And I feel God is saying for some men, you've taken on a burden that's God's burden to carry, and you cannot carry it. I feel that the enemy has been lying to you and has been keeping you in this grip of absolute fear and thinking, I cannot provide, I'm not a good husband, I'm not a good man, I'm not a good leader. Is there anybody like that? Any of the men that are saying, I'm really struggling with that lie? Amen. Okay. We're going to pray for all of that. And then I also felt this, just two more. I felt that there's some of us that have maybe our relationship with God, you realize, have become a bit of a, God, I do this and you do that, a business deal instead of an intimate, loving relationship between a father and a daughter or a son. For some of us, you've actually, because of disappointment, and God is saying, I'm not cross, it's not condemnation, it's an invitation this morning to come back into relationship with him in this area as well. And if that is you, just right where you are, just say, God, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry for taking the principles and making that law above loving you, above getting to know you, above walking with you in the intimacy that you require and that you want. So if you realize that you've actually slipped into religion a little bit in this area, just repent. It's easy. Repentance is just saying, Lord, I'm really sorry. I'm turning around. And I'm walking the other way. I'm choosing to walk the other way. And then the last one, so I felt that there might be some of us that, like me, that God is maybe challenged to excel in the ministry of giving. God is saying, I want you to grow in this area more. I want you to invite me more. I want you to be more aware of me speaking to you in this area. If that is you, why don't you just slip up your hand? So I'm going to ask you to be really brave. The good thing is there were many hands going up. You know, sometimes the most difficult thing is to stand up and come to the front because you're saying, God, I'm standing up and I'm making a change and I'm saying, I'm done with this. And what you've told me, I'm taking seriously. So if that is you, I'm going to ask you to be really brave, to stand up and come to the front. We would love to pray with you. If you stuck up your hand for any of the things that I spoke about, you're coming here to meet with Jesus, not with anybody that's going to pray with you. If there's anybody else that would like to come, you guys are most welcome. For those who are in front, I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just pray. Maybe just open your hands just as a sign of, God, I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering. Father, I pray, God, for each person standing in front, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and give them a fresh and new revelation of your love for them. God, I pray that they will know that they have a God, a loving Father who loves them unconditionally. I pray that you will give them a baptism in your love. That they will know that they are pleasing to you, not because of anything they've done or not done, God, but just because you love them, because they are yours, Lord. So I pray, Father, this morning for a fresh revelation that they are loved by their Heavenly Father. Yes, Lord, and we just break off any performance, any competition in this area, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that we don't need to strive for your love or your acceptance, that we are enough. We bless you with a week filled with the knowledge that your God and your Father is the King of the universe. I pray, God, that each person will know that they are loved, that they are cared for, that they are provided for. I thank you, God, that we will walk in intimacy with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.